So Rabosai, yesterday we started talking about the personality, so to speak, of the Heftza. The object takes on a personality of its own. We said that this certainly applies in the case of Karbonos, and the Basar Karbon HaPesach is Omed Lachila. That's something that's inherent in the object. It's not just that the Gavra, the person, is obligated to eat the Kodshim, but that's something that's a reflection of the Kodesh and the status of the Kodesh. I'd like to talk to you about the status of a Beged that has tzitzis on it. And the source material that I gave you from the Mishmeres Chaim on page Dalet, which you'll be able to find in the photocopy, hopefully. Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tzitzis in Siman Chaf He writes that he has to take a talis na v'tzitzis noim. Now, from the fact that he says talis na v'tzitzis noim, what does that imply? If he's talking about the tzitzis themselves, then he should have said tzorach likach tzitzis noim. But he says he has to take a talis na. So that implies that even the talis, the beged itself, has to be beautiful. And he writes mishum ze keli v'anveu. And yet, with regard to mezuzah, it doesn't say that the bias that's holding on to the mezuzah has to be a bias nor. So why is it that in the case of a talis, we apply the rule of zeh keli me'anveihu, the talis has to be beautiful, but in the case of mezuzah, we don't say that the bias that houses the mezuzah has to be a beautiful bias? So if you look on page Dalet, he says the following. We'll just read a few lines and then we'll try and analyze it. He says, Lo dummy. Dilagabe tzitzis, chute atzitzis nasim lechelek shel habeget. The tzitzis is not a separate object or a separate item that is added to the beged, but rather hakol beged echad. The tzitzis become part of one beged, one entity. And that's why, for example, on Shabbos, there's no problem carrying the tzitzis because it's part of the beged. He says the mitzvah is not just to put tzitzis on the beged, but rather to combine and unite, integrating the beged with the tzitzis to form one entity. And that's the mitzvah, to take that entity, which is a combination and integration of both the beged and the tzitzis. And in the language of the Mishmeres Chaim, he says that the beged itself is a cheftza shel mitzvah. And therefore, the Magen Avraham, as we saw before, says that you have to buy a talis nor, that even the beged itself has to be beautiful. Zeh keli me'anveihu. In the case of a cheftza shel mitzvah, you want to beautify the cheftza shel mitzvah. Masha Enkin, he says, l'gabi mezuzah, the fact that the bias is now has been equipped with the mezuzah, that doesn't mean that the mezuzah and the bias become one entity. It doesn't mean that the bias itself is a cheftza shel mitzvah. The bias is only the background or the excuse, so to speak, the machayev that generates the chiyuv of mezuzah. But the bias always remains a separate entity from the mezuzah. And therefore, although zeh keli me'anveihu certainly applies to the mezuzah itself, but it does not apply to the bias. And he writes, "Venir k'tzas raya mishitas haraba v'perk d'beiz me'ilgas tzitzis, d'be'inon sheyia hatzitzis mimin hakonof, da'ainu mitzeva hakonof." So in other words, let's say you're wearing blue tzitzis, right? You dyed your tzitzis blue. Then the beged has to also be blue. And that's halach of min hakonof, achi min hakonof, that the tzitzis and the konof, which means the corner of the beged, should be mi min echad, mi tzeva echad. And that indicates that it's all one cheftza. Otherwise, if it's two separate entities and objects, why would you have to determine the color of the beged by the color of the tzitzis or vice versa? Furthermore, he says, "Me a prima godim simon chaf yesh lavi raya." Also, l'shtamish betalis gadol be'od tzitzis bo betashmish Meguna. Just one second, let me read this again. Also, l'shtavish betalis godol bi'oda tzitzis bo. B'tash m'she'ena meguna. Ah, he left out the word afilu. Afilu b'tash m'she'ena meguna. V'atam hu mishum sh'atalis nasa l'cheftza shel mitzvah. In other words, why is it that I'm not allowed to have any benefits from the talis itself? Because the talis is designated for the mitzvah of tzitzis, and now the talis takes on a new personality, as we said before. So we spoke about kodshim, that the personality of the kodesh is such that the mitzvah achil is inherent in the kodesh, and now we're talking about a mitzvah. And the zekeli v'aveyu applies to a cheftza shel mitzvah. The personality of the object that's designated for a mitzvah takes on a new status, a new complexion, and therefore zekeli v'aveyu. However, he says that applies to the talis in tzitzis, but not to the bias in mezuzah. That's not, the bias is not integrated with the mezuzah into one entity, one object. And if the bias doesn't change its status, its personality, it's not a cheftza shel mitzvah, you don't have to beautify the bias. And he says also, this reflects on how careful you have to be with the talis itself, because now the talis itself, insofar as it is the entity of the mitzvah, it's part of the cheftza shel mitzvah, you have to be careful and not to use it for your personal purposes. So here we have, both in Kedusha and in mitzvah, a concept in the Cheftza. Now, one of the pages I have here for you photocopied is Reb Chaim on the Rambam. Do you have that page?
Talking about the going on Shabbos with the beggar and sisters, but I think that briskers have no problem with that, and they are going out without Tcheles.
We're not exactly sure if it's because of Tcheles, but then we pass Gineina Tcheles Ma'akev es Halavon, maybe it's that Shita. But more likely, I think it has to do with a different Shita, the Baal Amor. Trying to remember what the Baal Amor had to say. Just give me a second. Oh yeah, I think it was the Baal Amor who said that the Iker Mitzvah of Tzitzis is when the Beged covers most of the body. And our Tzitzis, let's say, don't cover most of the body, and therefore, according to the Baal Amor at least, it would not qualify as a Beged Shel Tzitzis. So if we want to be Machmir for that Shita, then automatically the Tzitzios becomes a Masri, and therefore you violate the Iser of Otzot. So Reb Chaim has a diuk in the Rambam that he disagrees the Rambam with the Rosh. What's the debate about? The Rambam writes in Perek Vav Mehilchos Sukkah that Atzei HaSukkah Asurim Kol Shmonas Yomim. Okay, that we know. That's called Muktza L'mitzvasa. Okay, that Pashtus, you would say, that the Atzei HaSukkah, when the Gemara says Atzei HaSukkah is Asur B'hanah, you're not allowed to have benefits from it, because it's designated for the mitzvah, that's only the schach. The schach is called atzei asukah, but not the defanos. And the Rambam writes, atzei asukah, asurim kol shmonas yom, bein atzei defanos, bein atzei aschach. And therefore, ein yosim mehem, l'dover acher, you can't use them for anything other than the yeshiva besukah. The Rosh, in the second parak of sukah, writes, Hai de asri atzei sukkah, hai de dafka schach, aval atzei defanos mishri shori. You're allowed to have any benefits you want, you know, from the defanos. You can scratch your back against the defanos. There's no problem muksa. Whereas the Rambam says that the atzei hasukkah, hasurim kol shmona, applies not only to the schach, but even to the, hello, anybody home? Even to the defanos. Okay. So Reb Chaim wants to say the following. Niraloma Vidas HaRambam Desfrile Nehi Diyambonu Laduna Lasuka Atzma Vare Daschach Hu Demichshev Iker Asuka. And Rashi says this at the very beginning of Masechta Sukkah, that the Shem Sukkah, Nikra al Shem Haschach. The Schach itself is definitely the Sukkah Atzma. However, he says the following. Kol zehu rak ba'adinim anogim lepsul v'hechsher de sukkah. If you're asking what is the sukkah, and where do I have to fulfill all the requirements of, according to the halacha, all the tnoim, all the conditions, that's only in the schach itself. However, he says, ba'adinim hanogim b'cheftza shal asukkah, or b'toris cheftza shal mitzvah, he says, kevan that the fanos are atzei sukkah, the alfinale de chagas sukkos, the ein zet toli bi etzem hasukkah, ela ki im de din zenemar al mitzvah sukkah, v'kol shemakayim de mitzvah sukkah, osu lehenos vimenu. So Chaim wants to say, to explain the Rambam Shita, that there are two definitions of a sukkah. There's the more narrow definition and the broader definition. The narrow definition of a sukkah is what he calls the cheftza shel sukkah, regarding psul and hechsher, where all the requirements are set forth by the halacha, and that refers to the schach. The schach itself, he says, from that perspective, is the sukkah itself. However, he says, as far as the din of muktzah is concerned, which is derived from the pasuk Chag HaSukkah, so Rambam's opinion is that doesn't depend upon the Etzem HaSukkah, but rather there's a Gzeres HaKosuv. He says that Masha'en Ken Legami Din Atzei HaSukkah Asurim Yalfilei Mikro De Chag HaSukkah Sfilei L'Rambam De Ein Zeh Toli Bi Etzem HaSukkah Ki Im De Din Zeh Nemar Al Mitzvah HaSukkah. So we have now a broader definition of sukkah, which is going to include not only the schach, but also the defanos. And what's our broader definition of sukkah? Mitzvah sukkah. So you have the etzem sukkah as far as the dinim and the psulim and all the requirements in the sukkah itself. That's the schach. But if you're talking about mitzvah sukkah refers to anything that's absolutely necessary in order to fulfill that mitzvah of sukkah.
There's also dinim in the defanos as well.
And therefore the defanos is also included in the Isur Muktzah, because the Isur Muktzah doesn't depend upon the etzem sukkah, but rather on the sukkah that you need to sit in and fulfill your mitzvah of sukkah.
So the shiurim with the funds come from mitzvah sukkah as opposed to the schach, where the shiurim and all the other dinim?
All the dinim of shiurim, and it has to be gekev and psoen and yokev solus and so on, it can't be a kli, whatever the dinim are. All that applies to what he calls the etzem sukkah, which is the real essence of the sukkah. That's in a strict legal sense, what constitutes and makes up the sukkah. The Shem sukkah is inherent and exhausted by the schach of the sukkah. But now there's another din. And that's called not the gufa sukkah, but the cheftza shel mitzvah sukkah. Meaning anything that's absolutely necessary in this structure, which we call a sukkah, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, that's called a cheftza shel mitzvah sukkah. Again, it doesn't have the Shem etzem sukkah, like have the hechsher psul. The defanos could be mechubel karka. They could be from any substance, and there's no halacha of yekev and goren and so forth and so on. You could even use a kli as a dofen. All this is true with regard to the etzem shem sukkah, meaning the surim and the hechsher, the conditions have to be met, the psulim. But then there's another halacha. As far as the mitzvah is concerned, can anyone fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah by sitting on the schach without the fanus?
No.
It's not a sukkah. So as far as your definition of a sukkah for the mitzvah, for the kiyum of yeshiva b'sukkah, I need the fanus. And therefore the Rambam holds that the Isur Muktzah is not limited to the schach. The Isur Muktzah is not limited to the schach, But rather it incorporates the entire sukkah, which means anything that's necessary for the mitzvah of sukkah, i.e. even the defano.
But does that mean only the minimum number of walls? The rest of it would not be?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Just one second. You mean maybe there's a suffix here, which of the tfanas right. can I do away with? Is it the last one that I put up? Or?
Right, or you could continue to designate and say, you know, these are the ones that
frankly,
are
I see your point, and it certainly fits into the Rambam's language, because the Rambam says that it's totally in what? The Rambam says it's called him a kaime bay. Oh. Rav Chaim's language is the following: called him a kaimei be mitzvah sukkah. So I don't know what he means. Alan, you took him to mean called him a kaimei be means whatever's necessary for the mitzvah sukkah, and that's really how I presented it. But on second thought, maybe called him a kaimei be means whatever I use to be makayim my mitzvah, and all the defanos together create a sukkah. Again, I can be yotze to the eved without all the four defanos. But once I have four defanos,
they're all muktzah.
Yeah, they're all muktzah because they're all part of the mitzvah, the mitzvah of sukkah. David,
if the mitzvah is to dwell on the sukkah, is a table even a bed? And this is they probably said I have some mitzvah, be able to do the mitzvah sukkah properly.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Again, I don't know that you have to have a bed in the sukkah to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. Obviously, we want to make it as comfortable as possible.
A shulchan, a table.
You know, and enjoy the sukkah. So we bring in all our best, and maybe I've seen sukkahs where they bring in a heater and a phone and all sorts of couches. You know, this, that, the other. No, I've seen that with my eyes. You know, and I think kol hakavod, that's a great thing. But when we say kol hakavod mitzvah sukkah, I think Reb Chaim means anything that's absolutely necessary. It's indispensable. You can't do without. So even if I don't have a table, I can still be Makai Mitzvah Yeshiva Masukah. Again, if I have...
From the other standpoint that you said, since you're using it as part of your Mitzvah Sukkah, then maybe it also is Sukkah.
Again, you're using it only as a Hechsher. It's not Al Pi Din, a requirement. What Reb Chaim means, Kol Makai Mitzvah Sukkah, he means anything that's an absolute requirement. Now, Alan was right before when he said, all I need is two definers, I don't need four definers, sure, right? Two definers and ten. But what I was suggesting is that since there's a din of dofen, and a dofen is part of is an absolute requirement as opposed to a shulchan, therefore all the definers together now form one entity called the Cheftah Shel Sukkah as far as mitzvah and muktzah is concerned. But if you're asking me about the fact that I slept in the sukkah with a blanket, does that blanket become a huktzah l'mitzvah? So no, because there the blanket is only playing a role as a facilitate my wonderful experience of yeshiva.
Yeah,
but there's no din of it. Wait, maybe we'll give Yudi a chance, because he came all the way from Toronto, Canada.
Well, he had the chance to hone his question.
Isn't there also the special element of Zman that the Rambam repeats twice, right? Koshma is Me'achag, and then at the end of it, again, he says, Koshiv is Me'achag. So we have a special thing about the Zman of Sukkot as well in the Lashon of the Rambam. I don't know if Rav Chaim is going to address that. Or...
Well, you're reminding me of what we discussed yesterday, not so much relevant to this. Here, what we're just talking about is whether or not the defanos are part of the sukkah, and they get the personality of the sukkah, the cheftah shel sukkah. You're asking a different question, which we discussed yesterday. Fascinating. And that is, we talked about whether muktzah is an isa cheftah or an isa gavra. And we suggested that if muktzah were an isa cheftah, then it would be also even after Shabbos, after Yom Kippur. Elawat is a special matir. That's what we discussed. Still looking for my notes. But anyway, so here also, maybe the Rambam wants to emphasize Kol Shmonus Yimeachag, that this, one second, that this Isur Muktzah, this Isur Muktzah has to be in the Cheftza. Rabbo said, why does this Isur Muktzah have to be in the Cheftza? John, can you think of anything? Because we're talking about Kedusha. And you remember our first discussion when we started with the Gemara in Nedarim, that anything that's endowed with Kedushas, that's inherent in the Chefza. Here, the Gemara derives from a pasuk comparing the Sukkah to Chagiga, that it's a Kedusha. People don't realize that the Sukkah itself has a level of Kedusha to it. So you could talk about Isurei Mukta this way and that way. You could say, well, since the Isurei Mukta is only limited to 7 days, maybe it's an Isur Gavra, it's not an Isur Chefza. But when you have something that's awesome because of the Kedusha Shebo, that for sure is an Isur Chefza. You remember we had a discussion last week about Truma, and we said that the grandfather, who's a Kohen, anointed his body with Shemen Shel Truma. And once again, we pointed out over there that the status of Truma is that of Kodesh. Yeah, it's a different kind of Kodesh, it's Kodesh Agvul, but nevertheless it's Kodesh. That Kedusha is always inherent in the object. And therefore, when it comes to a Zar, you know, benefiting from the Shemen Shel Truma, you've got to assume that since it's Kedusha of Truma, that he's violating that Kedusha. Lo Yechal, Yechal is Kodshi. And that certainly is in the Heft. Now, by equation, in the case of the analogy between a Heft Shel Mitzvah and Chagiga, there also the Heft Shel Mitzvah, insofar as it's designated for a Mitzvah, has Kedusha to it. Again, you can always ask, when and what point is that Kedusha Chal? Is it enough that I designate it? Do I have to actually use it for the mitzvah? Before the mitzvah, during the mitzvah, after the mitzvah? Again, a myriad of questions, but the primary statement or foundation here is that anything that's designated for a mitzvah has a special status. It's a chefzishal mitzvah. Now, I would ask a different question. What about Ner Chanukah? Is Ner Chanukah a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah? What's the simple, straightforward answer? Without thinking twice. Yes. And there it says, Ein lanu reshus l'shtamesh b'hem. And it says, Haneris halalu kodesh, and Ein lanu reshus l'shtamesh b'hem. El rosa v'vav. And the Baal Amor, at the beginning of Bavim and Ligan, says, Ein lanu reshus l'shtamesh b'hem means, even for the sake of another mitzvah. And I'm not being mevaza mitzvah if I use it for another mitzvah, but the answer is that this ner has kedusha to it, and kedusha generates an iser to benefit from it in any way, in any shape, in any
form. That includes lighting from one, you know, one with the neros to the other ner.
Oh, so if you light from one ner to another ner, that's a bizui mitzvah.
Sure.
Just like in the menorah in the mikdash, you would not be allowed to light one candle from another. But here I would ask you a different question. Wait, it just occurred to me, I don't want to lose this. What happens to the menorah itself? If Reb Chaim is saying that according to the Rambam, anything that's necessary for the mitzvah, you can't do without it, is part of the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, and it engenders an Iser Hanov, Muksel Mitzvah, so what about the menorah? The menorah itself is designated for the mitzvah. I put the candles in the menorah. And if it's shemen, I put, you know, there's a receptacle and I pour it into, you know, the amount of shemen into the receptacle. Does that mean that the receptacle itself, meaning the menorah itself, is a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah? And the nafkamina is going to be a great nafkamina, that is Zekei L'Mavim. The whole assumption here in the Mishmeres Chayim, in why you need a talis nah, is because the talis takes on a personality of its own, it becomes a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. And therefore you have to treat the talis properly. You know, talk to it, speak to it, make nice to it. And you're not allowed to use the talis for your own purposes. If I apply that same logic in expanding the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, like we did in the case of talis, to the menorah, in the case of their Chanukah, then I'm not allowed to benefit from the menorah. Right? Because if it's Muktzel Mitzvah, so then you can't have any benefit from it.
What other benefit would you have from it?
From the menorah, I want to use it to light my house tonight on Chav.
You mean you're allowed to do it all throughout the rest of the year?
What are we up to?
Chav. You weren't Chashman.
Chav Hey.
Today.
Wow. Tonight is Chav Hey.
Well, Chav Hey.
Tonight is Chav Hey.
Yeah, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I have to go to a wedding on Chof Vav. That's why it's important.
That's right, you know.
So let's say I want to light up, you know, the Ulam Smachot for the wedding with this menorah that I use for Ner Chanukah, right? So a lot of people get married on Chanukah. There's no reason to get married on Chanukah. You know, there's certain issues of Ein Marv and Simcha and Simcha and Yontif, but not on Chanukah. So in the morning I use this, you know, let's say last night I used this Ner for the menorah, now right for the mitzvah of Chanukah. Now I want to use the menorah to light up my house. Okay. Or I'll ask you a different question: how much money should I spend on a menorah? You know, it says with regard to zekei liyaveu heder mitzvah, it says ad shlish. So you bought a talis and you spent, let's say, for the beged itself without the tzitzis. No. Forget that. Cross that. For the beged itself, if it wasn't beautified, you would spend 1,000 shekel. Right now that you want to use it for a chefetz shal mitzvah, and buy a different talis, instead of spending 1,000 shekel, you're going to spend 1,300 shekel. You know what I'm saying? What about a menorah? How much money do you want to spend on a menorah? So if Reb Chaim is willing to expand from, you know, from the narrow definition of the Shem Etzem. The Shem Etzem is the Ner, not the menorah, in the case of Ner Chanukah. But he's expanding it, Reb Chaim, to include anything that's necessary for the mitzvah. Then I need the menorah to hold the Ner.
Yeah, but it's after Chanukah. It's no longer had.
On Chanukah, I'm asking. Oh, I want to use the menorah on Chanukah.
On Chanukah.
Right? That's why I pointed out. But ask a different question, Al. Forgetting about using the menorah on Chanukah. I want to ask a different question. I can give you many answers why you're allowed to use the menorah on Chanukah itself for your own purposes. But how much money should I spend on menorah for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Do I have the halacha of Zekei Liyaveu? Is it like the case of a talis Noah? So you would say, according to Reb Chaim, that since I need the menorah in order to fulfill my mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, then it's no different than the Tefanis of Sukkah. So it's not the Etzem Shem Sukkah, but it's the Kiyumah Mitzvah. And what Cheftah do I need to set up a Cheftah Shal Mitzvah? I need the Tefanis as well. Because that's an absolute requirement. You can't have Sukkah with Tzchach without the Tefanis. So do I have right to say I can't have an Ner Chanukah without a menorah? So just for your own interest, it's not a discussion for today, but the Baal Amor, no, I'm sorry, the Ravid in Ksavyad, they published the Ksavyad from the Ravid very recently in Moriah, you know, the Machon Yerushalayim, and they write that the Ravid says you don't need a menorah for Ner Chanukah. You can take your candle and put it on the table, if it won't fall, right? And he says you're yotze without a menorah. There's no din of a kli for the menorah. And then the Ravid slugs it up. And he rejects it. And he says, no, you do need a menorah. Why? Because the halach of Zechel and Mikdash. That if not for the fact that we want to recreate or duplicate the original Ner that existed in the Heichel and the Mikdash, you would not need a menorah. You could be Mekayim the mitzvah by just putting down the menorah on the table. The candle on the table, excuse me. The Tefzish al mitzvah, or the Etzem al mitzvah, according to Reb Chaim, in his language, would be the Ner itself, the Shalheves and the oil, but not the receptacle. But that's not enough. Why? Because you have to remember the menorah Shem Mikdash. So now the menorah and the shemen, together with the psila and the shalheves, they all integrate to create one cheftah. And that calms me down a little, because I've seen people pay enormous amount of money for a menorah. They used to have one in Ben Gurion Airport. I don't know if they still have it. Did you ever see that?
Yeah,
they still have it?
Yeah.
There's one on the way down to the Kotel, but that's supposed to be, you know, that's a political thing, that when we build the Beis HaMikdash, we have the menorah already ready. You know, that's a different agenda.
Machon HaMikdash.
Yeah, the Machon HaMikdash. But leaving out Machon HaMikdash, I've seen people who spend an enormous amount of money on a menorah. It's like a museum piece.
Absolutely.
Thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. And I was always wondering, is that just being flashy? Is that just, you know, trying to outdo the Joneses? But it's not a Chetzah Shal Mitzvah. If it's not a Chetzah Shal Mitzvah, then there's no Zekei Liyaveu. You're wasting your money.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, wasting your money. It's no worse than buying a beautiful automobile, you know, Lamborghini or whatever you like to buy. But the answer is, according to the Maskon of the Ravid, this halacha of Zechel and Mikdash, so you need a menorah. All right, I got off a little bit on a tangent here, but that's what he says over here about what? About the Defanas. Now, if you can take the other pages that I gave you, which have... There's a section here called Vav in the Mishmeres HaChaim. He starts with the Bir Aloch and Hilchos Tzitzisim and Yudal. Do you have that page?
It says above.
It should be on the same page that you read before, but on the bottom of that page. So again, on the top it'll say Mishmeres Chaim, and on the right side it might say Dalet, unless it got cut off. So let me just see what you have there. Maybe I'll... this is from yesterday.
Yeah, right.
I gave Adam Mishmeres Chaim. It's on the other table.
Oh, I didn't know you did.
You didn't get that, Alan?
No.
There should be two pages of Mishmeres Chaim.
Yeah,
there's
Mishmeres Chaim.
One might say Dalet on the top right.
This is all the pages. Yes.
It's double something.
You got it? So he has a Bir Halacha, and he wants to know if a katan can create tzitzis. Let's say he's a katan shigil l'chinuch. He doesn't have the mitzvah d'oraisa of tzitzis, but mirabbanan, let's say he's chayav b'toras chinuch, depending upon how you define chinuch. And Rabbeinu Tam says no. Katan is posel asiyas tzitzis. Why? Because there's a principle called kol she'eino b'levisha eino ba'asiya. Whoever is not included in the mitzvah of levishas tzitzis is not included in asiyas tzitzis.
Right.
And the chiddush of the Rambam is that principle applies to tzitzis just as it applies to sefer Torah. Now it's the original of kol she'eino. That principle kol she'eino is in Hilchos Stam. And the law is that a katan is not considered kosher, he's not valid for writing a Sefer Torah. Why doesn't he qualify for writing a Sefer Torah? Because he's not included in the mitzvahs.
Right.
In this case, the mitzvah of reading from the Torah. That's not incumbent upon the katan. In the case, says Rabbeinu Tam, of tzitzis, the katan is not obligated in the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis, and therefore he doesn't have kashrus, he doesn't have the status of that would qualify him for asiyas tzitzis. That's a gevaldik chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Now, leave the Rabbeinu Tam on the side for a moment, and let's fast forward to a simon that's much later on in Orach Chaim, because Hilchos Tzitzis is at the very beginning of Orach Chaim, and that's the law of Birkas HaMazon. What happens if a katan recites Birkas HaMazon and the gadol hears the Birkas HaMazon? Would the recitation of Birkas HaMazon on the part of a katan be sufficient for the gadol to be yotze his mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon?
No.
So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that this is his very unique scenario. The katan ate a meal and he recited Birkas HaMazon. Now he became a gadol and he still is digesting his food. Now again, this all assumes very complicated questions about how godless operates, but let's say it's me'eis le'eis. According to that sheet, that's me'eis le'eis. Or alternatively, even if you don't hold it's me'eis le'eis, but he ate the meal 1 minute before nightfall on his bar mitzvah night. His belly is full with what he ate. And Rabbi Kibbeger wants to know if now he has to bench a second time. Why? Because the first Birkas HaMazon that he benched was as a cotton, you know, midin chinuch. Now he's chayv midoraisa to bench. And Rabbi Kivega vacillates back and forth, is the achila the machayev or the svia is the machayev? If the achila is machayev, when did he eat? When he was a cotton. But if the svia is machayev, then he's sovea during Gadlus, right? That night he became a god.
Then those when the Hanas Greiner Hanas Meir, the Svea?
Well, not in the case of Birkas HaMazon. That's a brilliant point. In general, there's Machlok Shimon of Yochai Shlokish, whether it's Hanos Gron or Hanos Meir. But Kuliyamal Oplig in the case of Birkas HaMazon depends on Hanos Meir. Because the Torah says, Yechaltam Savata U Veirachta, the Veirachta goes on to Savata.
So how can you tell the Nachila?
Like, in other words, what I would say is just, I'm just focused on your question for a minute. What happens if a person would eat and then regurgitate? Would he be chayv in Birkas HaMazon? What's the answer? No, he would not be chayv in Birkas HaMazon. So if I gave you a quiz question, how could you eat a meal, be chayv in Birkas HaMazon, and then without benching, be potter from Birkas HaMazon? Without dying, I mean. Death is part opposite from all of it. So the answer is, if he regurgitates it, and now he's not... You know, he's not so there, because the Torah says we are chal to be so much. Good. So again, let's get Rabbi Kivega's suffix again. Rabbi Kivega wants to know if the kata now is chayv to bench as a god. Why? Because that which he that Birkas HaMazon before nightfall was b'toras kata, and they can't fulfill his chiv dorais. And now he became a god and he's chayv dorais because he's so there.
Don't you have a similar shot like that by Sphere, where the Kotten became a gull in the middle of Sphere and he was...
Well, no, that's a different question, Yudi. That has to do with what's called Tmimos. In other words, the first half is not Yod...
Right, so the Shiloh is, can he now count for the Bracha as a gull?
No, he's asking a different question now. He's asking whether the Sphere itself, even without the Achila, is enough to engender the Chiv Birkas HaMazon. Notice, how do you read the Pasuk? Do you read it, V'achalt is just a technicality, but the Machayev al-Pidin is V'savata, or do you say no, that V'achalt is part of the Machayev? You need two conditions to be met. Number one, Achila, number two, Svia. Here, in the case of this cotton who is in this gadol, we don't have the Achila HaMachayevis, but we have the Svia HaMachayevis. So Rav Kivega is vacillating back and forth. Is Svia enough to be Machayev? If it is, then a brand new Chiv emerges. This would be his first mitzvah as a goal to recite Birkas HaMazon on the sphere that's in his body. What does this have to do, Rav Osai, with our issue today of Rabbeinu Tam in a katan who's creating tzitzis? You know, he's attaching the tzitzis to the beggar, and Rabbeinu Tam says no, he's posel. So what does this have to do with Rabbi Kivega's suffix? So he says the following. This is on the top of page Hey. Hainu de mesupak in Birkas HaMazon she'asa bekatnuso motzia es chiyuvo bigadluso. So the Mishmer Eschaim has a different take on this. Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega would certainly agree that Sviya is mechayevus, and therefore as a gadol now, and he's digesting his food, he's obligated midoraisa in the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. That was never an issue for Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega's issue was, but he already benched. And when did he bench?
As a cotton.
As a cotton. So is that Birkas HaMazon as a cotton? Does that create an entity called Birkas HaMazon that with it he can fulfill his mitzvah bigadluso? And he asks the following question. He says that according to Rabbeinu Tam, he created tzitzis when he was a katan. Is that meaningful to create a beggar shel tzitzis? That would be sufficient even for a gadol, and therefore he's chayav begadluso? In other words, that which he did bekatnuso, can it engender a chiyuv begadluso? That itself is Rabbi Kivega's suffix. Because Rabbi Yemeger wants to know if the Birkas HaMazon that recited by Gadluso can be meaningful for Gadluso. Again, that part, Yudi's right. That would be relevant to Sfira Sofer as well. Because if you want to know if it's Tfilos, then if the Sfira of Gadluso is Moel LeGadluso, then we have Tfilos. But again, I thought that Rabbi Yemeger was vacillating back and forth on a whole different issue. But for whatever reason, you know, we'll accept the premise of the Mishpat Chaim that Rabbi Yemeger was wondering whether or not the Birkas HaMazon and the Katnuso would suffice to fulfill his obligation b'Gadluso. And if that if it is, then why couldn't the creation of tzitzis, when the katan attaches the tzitzis to the beged, why shouldn't that be moel and meaningful for the mitzvah of tzitzis when he's a goel?
It's a different Indian, though, because even if you want to agree with the din by Birkas HaMazon and it goes by Sviya, so fine, so he's still so bad, and maybe he has to bench the Uraisa. But with tzitzis, since they were no good as tzitzis when it's a cotton, and that was a godly as it, it's min osui, and it's the apostles of tzitzis because they were made at a time when there was no fear. But on the other hand, if you say this, the mitzvah is not on the gavra, but it's on the chefza,
yeah,
then that's a different thing because the chefza, it's okay that the tzitzis are on there because it's just a matter of being mitzuyets.
Alan, you're saying a velt of stuff. I don't know if I have the kirchus to go through all your sforis right now. And you're saying a lot of good stuff. So let me ask for mechila, and we'll come back to all your chidushim. Or maybe you should write them up. No, I'm not joking, but I just want to see what the Mishmar Chaim has to say, because at this point in my life, that's the best I could hope for. I've slept less than 8 hours in the last 2 days, so go easy on me, okay? So that, what does the Mishmar Chaim say? Now, let's see if we could read through this paragraph. I tried to, and I had some trouble. You know that Rav Scheinberg's son-in-law is Rav Altusky, and he has many wonderful children, but one of them is Rav Mordechai Altusky, and he wrote this book called Mishmeres Chai based on his grandfather's Mishmaros, the Thursday night Mishmar. And sometimes you don't know who's talking. Is it Rav Scheinberg the Zayda, or is it Rav Mordechai Rav Mordechai Altusky, the grandson? He writes the following: Nir lechalik delegabi birkas hamazon achiv levarech Hu sha'oses Hashem bracha v'imidoraisa eino chayav levarech ein shem birchas hamazon oleha klal. Okay, so far I follow what he's saying, and it could be very logical that what generates a heftz of birchas hamazon? Why is it an entity of birchas hamazon? It's the chiyuv to be mevarech, but in this case he was a katan, and his chiyuv is not a chiyuv doraisa, and therefore he cannot, on a Doraisa level, create an entity called Birkas HaMazon. Therefore, Rabbi Yemeger is inclined to think that he's not Yotze with that bracha that he recited B'Katluso, because now B'Katluso, he needs a Heftz of Birkas HaMazon. And B'Doraisa, now that he's Chayav B'Katluso, he doesn't have a Heftz of Birkas HaMazon. Aval Gabi Tzitzis Kevat shehitil at tzitzis bebeged, yeshal at tzitzis shem mitzvah tzitzis, delekaton heim tzitzis ksherim, is afilu akshen is gadol, eino tzorch lahatir at tzitzis, deheim cheftzis shal tzitzis, umahani afilu litalis shal gadol. I'll tell you where I got lost here in the translation. We were talking here about Rabbeinu Tam. What was Rabbeinu Tam's opinion about the tzitzis that were made by a katan?
They're no good.
They're no good. Here he says that they are good. Right? Masha Enken, he says, Ligabi tzitzis, Kemen shehitel asat tzitzis bebeged, yesh ala tzitzis shem mitzvah, and therefore, is afil akshash and is gadel, these tzitzis are valid, they qualify, and ain't tzorch lahatir tzitziosno. I can't understand where did I lose it in the middle here? You know, the whole point of this presentation was to justify Rabbeinu Tam.
Oh,
Ah, so 1 minute. Okay, now I see. I missed a line here. Okay, because something was missing here. So, Rav Osler, let's go back to page Dalet and line 4. And again, we're talking in the bottom right, you know, number Vav. The Hosef, okay, this is what we missed. We missed the Makom HaPatish here, the Tosefos. And that's this Rav Eitan. The Afilik Sheyagdil Eino Tzorech Lahatir Tzitziyosov. I see. So we're talking about both sides, not about Rabbeinu Tam. We're talking about the Mishnah Berurah. Right? We're fast forwarding by 9 centuries. Okay. And the Mishnah Berurah says the following, that if the katan put the tzitzis on the beged, then we can allow the gadol to use those tzitzis, because there are those poskim who say against Rabbeinu Tam that the principle of kol she eino bikshira, right? Kol she eino bilavisha eino bikshira doesn't apply to tzitzis. It's only a special halacha in sefer Torah mezuzah. Mashma d'lashitas Rabbeinu Tam eino yotze b'tzitzis she'osu b'katnuso. The achshav yeshal of chiyuv doraisa. Umasha also bekat nuso mahani rak lechiyuv derabana. I, Rabbi Kivega, wants to say that what he benched as a katan is not going to help now that he's a gadol. He might have to bench again. So what's the question here? Why is it that what? In the case of tzitzis, does anybody see it?
Yeah, you could say
what's his question?
If it's a chefs and gavra bit,
wait, we'll leave out chefs and gavra. Just tell me just the types of it. What is his problem here?
What he's saying is that
what did he find in Rabbi Kivega that bothered him? Rabbi Kivega said that he's not sure whether the bracha of Birkas Avos that he made as a katan would help as a gadol.
Right.
Okay, so why is that problematic? I mean, he's obviously asking Akasha because he says Nira L'chalik. What did he see in tzitzis? Unless he's going back to the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, but the Mishnah Berurah holds that a katan, even on a deraisa level, is allowed to create tzitzis. So must he's going according to Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam says that midoraisa he cannot create tzitzis. He's posel fasiyas tzitzis. He's posel for asiyas tzitzis, and now when he becomes a gadol, he's going to have to fulfill his mitzvah d'oraisa of tzitzis. Why is that against Rabbi Kivega? Rabbi Kivega is saying now he has to bench again. On the nir lechalik, the gabi birkas hamazon achiu levarech. Husha osa Hashem bracha v'meinu chayim is ein Hashem bracha leklal. Is therefore nistapik Rabbi Kivega ulai eini yotze v'meshabirach bekatnuso.
The mitzvah that he has,
yeah, that's Gabi tzitzis kevin shehita tzitzis bebeged, is therefore he doesn't have to take him off and put him on again. But just a few minutes ago he said mashmal shitzis Rabbeinu Tam eino yotze b'tzitzis. Something's missing.
The mitzvah by Berachas HaMazon is for the person to say Berachas HaMazon, right? Under the conditions of whatever satisfies Berachas HaMazon. But the mitzvah by tzitzis is not to make tzitzis. The mitzvah is to have a beged that has...
Wait a second. We're not on the same page here. This is not good. This is very bad. I'm trying to rack my brains and figure out what is the stira here between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbi Kivega. Right. You're already giving me lumdus about this and that. It's wonderful. I'm very excited about lumdus. In fact, that's what I like to do in life. But first tell me what his question is, because Omnam Nira L'chalek is an answer to a question.
Right.
So if I appreciate the question, I can appreciate the answer to the question. Now, I don't understand this theory. Both Rabbi Kvega and Rabbi Natam are saying the exact same thing. Rabbi Natam is saying that when he becomes a gadol, he needs a new pair of tzitzis. And that's exactly what Rabbi Kvega wanted to say in the case of Birkas HaMazon, that when he becomes a gadol, he needs a new Birkas HaMazon. So what is the Mishmeres Chaim coming? The whole book is based on the following. This is the structure of the book. He presents his stira, and then he says a piece of lumnus to reconcile that. So if somebody could tell me where the stira is without giving me any lumnus at this point, that I would appreciate.
I'm trying to understand as well. I'm not asking or trying to answer. I'm just trying to understand, to step back one, that normally when we say Kol She'enai,
yeah.
So I'm going to say that what's the status of that Katnus Birkas HaMazon? He's trying to be Mekayem Mitzvah.
Oh, I don't know about Kol She'eino and Birkas HaMazon.
No, we were saying...
Kol She'eino means when you try to create something like a get or a Sefer Torah, you write a Sefer Torah, you write a get, or in the case right. of Tviya, I don't know if that has anything to do with Birkas HaMazon.
No,
what the problem with Birkas HaMazon is that if you're not a Gavra Bar Chiyuva, then I don't know if your Birkas HaMazon is meaningful. So somebody's not chayav in Birkas HaMazon, can recite Birkas HaMazon, but that's meaningless.
But are you going to say that the Katan's Birkas HaMazon is meaningless?
It's not.
Well, I don't know. Rabbi Kvega seems to assume it is meaningless.
It's meaningless
because Rabbi Kvega is going to say that he has to repeat Birkas HaMazon. What he said, what he recited Birkas HaMazon, that's fine as a training exercise, we'll call it chinuch, but it's not the real thing. You know, remember Coca-Cola? Remember the you got to get the real thing. You know what I mean? You remember that? No, you don't remember that.
Okay. We once learned many shiurim ago about a case where a father had a chiv in midrabanan. And the son had been rising, he could be might see his father.
Yeah, this was in Masechta Brachas. Were you with me when we learned Masechta Brachas? Yeah.
Some of
you. In Masechta Brachas,
so how you
we spoke about the possibility that the Kotan ate a Kizayis, I'm sorry, the other way around. If the Gadol ate a Kizayis and the Kotan ate a Kibetza, that maybe they have the same level of Chiyuv. He's been the Rabbanah because he's a Kotan, and he's been a Rabbanah because he only ate a Kizayis, which is only the Rabbanah. But again, I don't want to get off on a tangent. Of course, we can speak here from now till Mashiach Zeitman, but we don't have the time for that. What I need to know urgently is what is the question that he's asking over here? I don't seem to decipher that. The Hosif, the Afilik Sheyagdil, Eino Tzorch Lahatir Tzitziosov, the B'dievet Samchinon Ashara Poskim, the Chol Sheyino Bikshira Hudafka Vida, Abachal Torku Eino Posim. So it seems that according to Rabbeinu Tam, he's got to get himself a new beggar, because he created this tzitzis, this beggar shal tzitzis when he was a cotton. We don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, because we hold that even a cotton can create tzitzis. Okay, so why is that a steer to Rabbi Kvega? So Rabbi Kvega says no, that what he benched as a cotton is not good for a goal. I mean, that's exactly what we're saying over here. That since Rabbeinu Tam says that a cotton is not capable of creating tzitzis, when he becomes a goal, he's going to need another pair of tzitzis. Mashba the shittus Rabbeinu Tam, any yotzeis b'tzitzis sha'asa b'katnuso the achshav yeshlov chiyuv d'oraisa. That's exactly what we're saying in Birkas HaMazon. Yesh olov alat tzitzis, shein mitzvos. Again, al derech hapilpul, I don't believe he meant this, but I don't want to let you go without anything. Maybe he means the following, that it's not in the words, but Rabbi Natan's problem is the psul of a katan in creating tzitzis. The din of asiyas tzitzis, a katan is mufka from asiyas, he's posel asiyas tzitzis. That's Rabbi Natan. So therefore, the question is going to be as follows. Why did Rabbi Natan require that when he becomes a gadol he needs a new pair of tzitzis? Says Rabbeinu Tam, because he's a gadol now, and the tzitzis that he made was only for chinuch and it was only derabanan, it's not going to help him for the doraisa. So forget about all that. Why didn't Rabbeinu Tam just say simple, straightforward, that which he created as a katan is a psul, because kol she'eino mikshira, kol she'eino basira, eino mikshira. Or eino basira, I'm mixing up tefillin and tzitzis, but I'm saying kol she'eino milavisha, eino basira. There's no asiyah tzitzis if he's a katan, because he doesn't have the mitzvah of levisha. That alone should have sufficed for a man of town to draw the conclusion that this tzitzis has to be thrown out when he becomes a goal. He's got to replace it with tzitzis that are kosher. Well, why did Rabbi Natan need to point out that since he was a katan and he was a lav and he was a lav bar asiya, and therefore we cannot, according to Rabbi Natan, we cannot use his tzitzis as a gadol. L'chora, if not, if you would isolate, or shall I say, neutralize that problem, kol she'eino b'levi she'eino b'asiya, then everything would be fine, according to Rabbeinu Tam. And the question is, why would that be good? Rabbeinu Kivega says, no, that when he benched as a cut, it's not going to help when he's a gadol. So apply that logic here to the case of tzitzis, that which he created as a katan is fine as long as he's chayav mitin chinuch, but it's not going to work when he's again. Just like Rabbi Kivega says that the benching as a katan is not good to accrue a kiyuv mitzvah when he's a gadol, so too the asiyah of tzitzis as a katan is not going to help him as a gadol. And Rabbi Tam's, you know, Rabbi Tam is assuming that it would have helped as a gadol, and these tzitzis would be fine, except that there was never an asiyah. Because the asiyah requires asiyah sheyesh ba levisha, and that doesn't apply to a katan. So the katan doesn't have an asiyah. But if not for that problem, if somehow you could circumvent that problem and say that a katan has that asiyah, maybe on a derabbanan level on kol panim, maybe we should say that now he doesn't have to switch his tzitzis and he can be yotzei. That seems to be the implication of Rabbeinu Tam, that if all things were equal, he would not have to replace his tzitzis. He'd be yotzei with these tzitzis that he created as a katan. Maybe because mirabbanim din chinuch he has that mitzvah now. As a goal, he could be yotzei with these tzitzis. But that's against Rabbi Kivega, because Rabbi Kivega says that that which he did as a katan is meaningless as far as d'oraisa is concerned. Rabbeinu Tam would seem to recognize, to validate that which he did as a katan for godless, if not for the problem of kol she'eino b'levi she'eino b'kshira. So there's a technical psul in what the katan did, and therefore can never, there's no habamina that tzitzis can be kosher d'oraisa. But forget about that. Why didn't Rabbeinu Tam answer a different, you know, why did Rabbeinu Tam come to the same conclusion with a more universal principle, not the unique specific principle kol she'eino b'levi she'eino b'kshira, but simply by saying that a maisa katan is irrelevant to gadlusa? So on that, the Mishmeres Chaim answers no. That the reason why a maisa katan is irrelevant to gadlusa in Rabbi Kivega's frame of reference, that's because of the din of a cheftza shel bracha. In order to create a cheftza shel bracha, you need a bar chiyuva. And therefore, there never was a cheftza shel bracha in the Birkas Hamazon of a katan. But in tzitzis, that which he did as a child, again, if we isolate the problem of kol she'eino b'levisha, would be meaningful as a gadol. Why? Why would it be meaningful when he's a gadol? And the answer is, he says, Gabi tzitzis kevan shehitel hatzitzis babeged, yeshal hatzitzis shem mitzvah tzitzis. All we need in order to validate the asiyah, meaning the putting on the tzitzis onto the beged, is a kiyuma mitzvah. Any kiyuma mitzvah. And if the kiyuma mitzvah in this context, in this case, is chinuch, then ein chinami. That would validate the asiyah hatzitzis. Again, if not, I keep reiterating, if not for the problem of kol she'eishno b'levisha. And that's what he writes over. We have a gabi tzitzis kevin shehitel at tzitzis bebegen. We don't care about the chovas gavra, like in Birkas HaMazon we say it's not a cheft shel brach unless he had a chovas gavra, but not so in the case of tzitzis. Why? He says, yesh al at tzitzis shem mitzvah tzitzis. Why? And all we need for a shame mitzvah legabi the tzitzis is a katan who's chayev in tzitzis midin chinuch. Is afilu achshish and his cattle ain't zorich lahatir tzitzioso. So now we can justify the Mishnah Berurah as well, right? The Mishnah Berurah doesn't have the psul of kol she'eino b'levisha against, right? He's relying on those poskim against Rabbeinu Tam. And he goes ahead and therefore says that we don't have to switch the beged. But forget about Rabbeinu Tam and the whole issue with the Rishonim who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. He should have to replace the beged because the asiyah of a katan is not valid for a gadol, like the asiyah of Birkas Hamazon as a katan is not valid for a gadol. You know what? I just convinced myself that that's pshat in the Mishmeres Chayim. First, I thought I was going to tell you a pilpul, and it's very far from pshat, but now I think that's what he means. That's why he introduces the Mishnah Berurah. If the whole piece was built on Rabbeinu Tam, why would he feel compelled to introduce the Mishnah Berurah? The answer is, what does he want to get from the Mishnah Berurah? That it doesn't bother me that the katan was the one who did the asiyah. Normally, an asiyah of a katan is not valid on a doraisa level. It's good for chinuch, but it's not an asiyah. The Torah doesn't recognize that asiyah. And I'll prove it to you, because Rabbi Kivega says that the Birkas HaMazon that he recited as a katan is not going to help him now as a gadol. So the Torah doesn't recognize the asiyah of a katan. How then could the Mishnah Berurah say that therefore you don't have to switch the tzitzis and you can rely on those on tzitzis? But where's the asiyah? There's no possibility of a mitzvah of tzitzis without asiyah. And here the asiyah was an asiyah of a katan. The asiyah of a katan is not valid. Says the Mishmeres Chaim, no, the asiyah of a katan in the case of tzitzis is valid. Why? To who hitil the katan put ala tzitzis ala beged, and now the beged has tzitzis. You'll say, but maybe it was just like a guy. If a guy would put tzitzis on a beged, so what are you going to tell me? The beged has tzitzis on it? Oh, but there's a difference. Because here there's a kiyum mitzvah. What kiyum mitzvah is the cotton involved in? The mitzvah of chinuch. But once you have the mitzvah of chinuch, now the hatolas hatzitzis al kanfei of gadim is a meaningful act, and it comes under the status of generating a cheftza shel mitzvah. And that's the significance of the cheftza shel tzitzis. You see, he writes that afilu achshav shenis gadol eino tzorch lahatir tzitzios. Of why? Because heim cheftza shel tzitzis. And even a cotton could create a cheftza shel tzitzis. This would be amazing, because now I'll tell you something amazing. It's not yet kislev, but if a cotton would light a ner Chanukah, I would be yotze. Why? Where's my cheftza shel ner? The answer is, a katan could also create a cheftza shel ner Chanukah, because he has the key of mitzvah of chinuch. And just like a katan could create a cheftza shel tzitzis al begdo, and that's called an asiyah because he has the mitzvah of tzitzis, he can create a cheftza shel ner Chanukah, and we could be yotze with that ner Chanukah.
And with Mikael Berchus Amazon?
But Birkas HaMazon is something different. Birkas HaMazon is not, there's no cheftza. Right? In the cases of that I gave you of Tzitzis al Bigdo and their Chanukah, there's a cheftza. So the question is, can a cotton create that cheftza? A guy also wants to create that cheftza, but he can't. Why? Because there's no kiyuma mitzvah in that asiyah. But with the asiyah of a cotton, he's creating a mitzvah, he's obtaining a mitzvah of chinuch. That gives the status of hatolas hatzitz al beged into the status of an asiyah. Because of the cheftza shel beged. The cheftza shel beged desires the tzitzis, and the cotton is able to fulfill the desire of the beged. That's the personality of the beggar. And the reason why the katan is able to do so is because he has somewhere in the world, in the halal universe, you know, he has a kiyuma mitzvah, which is called what? Chinuch. Masha Enkin, in the case of Birkas HaMazon, we have no cheftza. It's all a question of creating this Birkas HaMazon. Who can create Birkas HaMazon? Only someone who's mechuyim b'davar. In fact, I would add another point to Rav Scheinberg. There's an Iser of Hotzah Shem Hashem Elokecha L'shav that applies in a bracha. The only matter that we have for reciting a bracha is the chiyuv to say the bracha. The katan doesn't have the chiyuv. We never assume the katan to be a bar chiyuvah. He may be a bar chiyuvah d'rabbanon, but not d'oraisa.
Yeah, but then why don't you say that the cotton, you could say, as a svara, that a cotton that benched has now pottered himself from any field. It's pottered the whole in your benching.
Oh, so that Rabbi Vega holds that svia is enough to be machayev. And since after nightfall, you know, when he blows out the 13 candles, he's still filled, he's still satiated, because it was not kidei equal 72 minutes, right? It's less than 72 minutes between the time that he ate his meal and the time that he became bar mitzvah, and therefore, Rabbi Kivega says he now is a chiyuv birkas hamazon. The only issue, but he already recited birkas hamazon, but he wasn't a bar chiyuva, and therefore he cannot generate a cheftza shel birkas hamazon. But in the case of a beged shel tzitzis, which is a cheftza, then the katan, insofar as he has some sort of flimsy, you know, transient light kind of chiyuv, that's enough to create a cheftza of a beged shel tzitzis. And I applied that to a cheftza shel ner chanukah.
Why you just mentioned a moment ago, you mentioned cheftza of birkas hamazon. Now you said it's not a cheftza, now you're saying...
Right, I was the one who called it a cheftza. I don't know, does he call it a cheftza? Let's see. He says, nir l'chad, gabi birkas hamazon. He calls it a shame bracha. Very cool. He avoids the language of cheftza shel bracha because he doesn't want to confuse you. Because we're all confused. Why not say it's a cheftza shel birkas hamazon? The answer is, there is no cheftza. Now again, Reb Chaim says that Arvis, you know, is a Rishus, it's a Cheftza Shel Rishus. Whereas the other two Tfilos are Cheftza Shel Tfilos Chova. So even though there's no Cheftza here, what am I looking at? There's no object. He still uses the term Cheftza.
Maybe that wouldn't work.
Why not say it by Birkas HaMazon and call that a Cheftza as well? He's not willing to go that far. And he's saying that here, that you need a Matir, you know, to create a Birkas HaMazon that you can be Yotze with, and there is no Matir. And what's the Matir? The Matir has to be the Chova. And in the case of a Katan, he doesn't have the Chova.
Maybe this doesn't work for one reason. Because his benching only lasts for 72 minutes. 72 minutes, if it was less than 72 minutes,
right,
it was in a Shmosh's time, and it would be a Suffolk whether he was a Gadol or not. And then he wouldn't.
No, he benched before Banish Moshes.
No, he can't.
He's
do
not
that.
A gutter.
If he benched before.
Now, 72 minutes have not yet gone by. Only a half hour went by. Shkia, between Shkia and Seis is 20 minutes, right? So now 20 minutes goes by, and Rabbi Kivega says he's got to bench again. Why does he have to bench again? He already benched. The answer is that's not a shame, Birkas HaMazon.
He's still not a definite gutter in during Banish Moshes.
I'm talking about Seis. Right now it's Seis and his belly is just plastic.
No, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's 72 minutes till Seis is about.
I don't know about Rabbeinu Tam. You know, that's not my issue. Here. My issue here is whether or not, according to Rabbi Kivega, he has to bench again. And assuming he has to bench again, it's because the Birkas HaMazon that he recited as a katan is not going to help him to fulfill his mitzvah as a gadol.
So if you're going to say that, would you say that Rabbi Kiva Eger would say that if somebody has a peg, that he's chayiv in diraisa?
What's
in
a peg? Benching,
peg, as we put a tube directly into the
stomach. Oh, I see. What's it called? Something feeding... Yeah, whatever.
Two feeding. That's it. That's it. Wait,
so
he never has any achila. He only has svia.
Right. It seems to me that Rabbi Kivega is vacillating on that point, but according to this side in Rabbi Kivega's sofe, that he has to repeat his birkas almost because he has svia in his belly. Then that intravenous feeding or whatever you call it, that would also be machayev him in birkas almost. Why? Because he has the svia. Now, Rabosai, I prepared a lot for this year, and we didn't get to any of it almost. Just, you know, like even in the Mishmeres Chaim, I have another couple of pieces I wanted to do. We also have a couple of Reb Chaims and a piece from the Rav. So, what I would like to do now is collect all the pages because I don't trust you, no offense, and I don't know if they'll be here next Sunday when I give the next year in Derech Halimu.
What am I supposed to do? I won't be here next Sunday.
You won't be here on Sunday. Where are you going to be? Oh, you're listening to Rav Silva on
Sunday morning. I'm
Oh, your flight is on Sunday morning?
Unless Mashiach comes before that.
Well, what time on Sunday morning do you have to leave?
Unless you can tell me about those that you know when.
Can you postpone your flight for one more day or half a day? Is there a flight Sunday afternoon?
But if you don't have to pay, allow me to. But I don't know. My wife is going to say when she comes to the airport and I'm not there.
Well, no. I mean, you have plenty of days to notify your wife. I'm not worried about that.
But if maybe you, I think you should be notified.
What time does your flight take off?
It's Mitzvah Shabbos, a quarter to one in the morning.
Oh, I didn't understand. I thought you were saying it's a flight at 6 a.m. Maybe you get a flight at 1, you know, 1 p.m. So it's enough to be in a few hours.
Don't you think on Thursday also?
So it's at night. It's basically Motzi Shabbos.
But
you'll join us for the Shabbat Brachos, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just...